Hey y'all, it's Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. I'm a board-certified gynecologist, a clinical assistant professor of OBGYN at Northwestern Feinberg School of Medicine, and owner of a private practice for almost a decade that specializes in menopause and sexual medicine. I'm a South Asian American Muslim woman who is here to empower, educate, and help you advocate for health issues that have been stigmatized, shamed, and perhaps even prevented you from living your best life. I'm better than your best girlfriend and more open than most of your doctors. I'm here to educate so you can advocate. Welcome to Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. Let's go. Hey, y'all, it's me, Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. Okay, so today you guys are in for a big treat, okay? I have amazing film writer, producer, and a director here that are going to blow your freaking mind about this new feature film that is going to be hopefully seen throughout the world. This is something to talk about, guys, when we talk about advocacy and storytelling and, you know, why we do this, why I'm on the podcast, why, you know, we tell our own stories to help others. We can take it to the next level, which is a feature film. This is amazing. So I just finished my podcast with Bonnie Gross and Nancy Boyd. Bonnie Gross, she's an award-winning comedy writer and producer. She passionately tells stories about vulvovaginal health. You're going to hear all about it. Oh my God, guys, she's going to tell you all about her journey, her personal journey with issues around her vulvar vestibule and pain, and how she had so much great advocacy and support. And Nancy Boyd, she is the director of the film. They made a film called Lady Parts, and I can't wait to watch it. This is probably, you know, it's being seen in festivals right now. And so hopefully it gets picked up by the festivals and brought to the main stage. And, you know, that is our hope, that we can get more information out there about women who are suffering or do not get the care they need and how they can get that care. So this is going to be good, guys. It's Nancy Boyd and Bonnie Gross from Lady Parts. Let's get at it. Hey, y'all. It's me, Dr. Samina Rahman, Gyno Girl. I'm so excited about this episode today. Gyno Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. You guys are in for a treat. Today, we have two individuals here today to discuss a feature film that is being circuited around many festivals and hopefully coming to one near you soon. It's called Lady Parts, and it's regarding a lot of what we talk about here on this podcast. And so I'm super excited to interact today and interview Bonnie Gross and Nancy Boyd. Bonnie Gross is the actual writer and producer of this feature film, and Nancy Boyd is the director. Bonnie Gross is an award-winning comedy writer and producer with a passion for telling stories around vulvovaginal health. Originally from Philadelphia, but now a New York transplant, she earned her bachelor's in media production from the University of Alabama and completed the UCLA professional program for TV comedy writing. And you're going to get a full bio in the show notes. And Nancy Boyd, she's amazing as well. She was raised in a small town in Michigan. During her college career, at Badana University, she studied both film and music, and she was always eager to direct music and videos. She has earned 19 nominations and 7 student production awards from the National Association of Television Arts and Sciences. And she's also had the opportunity to be this on-the-set photographer for 3 feature films and 2 seasons on the internationally syndicated show, The Dr. Nandy Show. She's amazing. She is the director of this feature film, which I'm super excited to see. I watched the clip recently, and it was so funny and really poignant. I mean, it's telling a story about Bonnie Gross's actual experience, and I'm going to turn it over to her in a minute. But, you know, I always talk about, you know, are we brave or shameless by talking about all these issues? And I think, you know, you're really brave for bringing yourself into the realm and discussing a kind of complicated issue. You know, a lot of people get discounted. We talk about how gaslighting occurs in the medical profession all the time on the show. But I'm just going to go ahead and give you guys the stage. Welcome to my podcast. I'm super excited. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the journey, how you got it, how you decided to do this, and everything. Welcome, Bonnie and Nancy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We're super excited to be here. Yeah, as you mentioned, this was based on my own story. So I struggled for years. I think I went to 15 doctors because I was having painful sex. It's like, it feels like a knife is digging into me and I can't figure out why. And it was a lot of medical gaslighting, a lot of, oh, I don't know what's going on with me. And finally, I saw Dr. Goldstein in New York, who was the first person to... Dr. Andrew Goldstein, yes.
Yeah.
Who was able to
Goldstein in the
sex sorry.
Yeah.
To know. No, that's good to know.
Erwin Goldstein is in San Diego and Andrew Goldstein is in New York and DC.
Yes. Yeah. I went to the New York office and I finally got a diagnosis. And we tried a couple things, but I ended up getting a vulvar vestibulectomy. I ended up then doing the 6-week bed rest, moving back home with my parents. And then moving to dilators and kind of figuring out the whole vaginismus and pelvic floor tension that happened as a result of having nerve problems. And after that experience...
Is yours like the congenital form or did they think you acquired it over time?
They think I acquired it over time. I also had chronic...
You had pain-free sex at some point?
Yeah. Well, not pain-free sex. I always had problems putting in tampons.
Okay.
But the... Because I always had like a pelvic floor issue as well. Like my pelvis is tilted and I have scoliosis and a bunch of other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the nerve ending stuff kind of ended up coming up like more after puberty. And I was getting a lot of chronic yeast infections, which they think is kind of the, you know, because that's also an issue. I went to a lot of places that gave me fluconazole and I was like, it's not working. And I had a yeast infection for about 3 years on and off. And they think the inflammation caused it to just get way worse than it was.
Right. Yeah. And I think the understanding now is that, you know, you get these mast cells that proliferate and the nerve endings proliferate at the opening. And when that happens, you just get this severe, what we call allodynia, where you have this abnormal pain sensation, you know, with touch of like a Q-tip or whatever.
I would always tell people it's not just sex. Like I would sit down, I would sit on a bike, I would wear tight pants and it would feel like someone was taking a knife, like a hot knife to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're constantly going to doctors who are like, it's no big deal. You know, just drink a glass of wine. You're fine.
Right.
And this you're is like, no, not that, at all.
Someone gets told to drink a glass of wine. And I'm just like, what's the obsession with that? I can't tell people to have a glass of wine.
They're sponsored by the wine companies.
Yeah. Every one of my patients has been told that at some point, which is astounding.
Really? I find it crazy, too, because you're going to a doc.
Yeah.
And I was told that, I think, even underage when I would go to a student health center or something. I was 19 and they were like, yeah, just, you know, get a friend to buy you a glass of wine or something. Chill out. And I'm like, that's insane.
I think the rhetoric is in our head, right? Like, that's been the rhetoric since the beginning of time. And so I feel like, you know, that underlying misogyny and that rhetoric of being in your head is just, you know, still pervasive, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still... a lot of places I've gone until I found Dr. Andrew Goldstein. That was like the first person that even took it seriously and was like, we're actually going to come up with a plan to figure out what this is. And I can tell you're in pain. So we're not even going to do a speculum. We're not even going to do it.
Right.
So that's an option. You can do that. that's crazy. That these things exist. So after I got the surgery and stuff, I kind of got angry and I was like, why is no one talking about this? Why? Do I feel shameful even talking to my friends about this? Because everyone's like, oh, what surgery are you getting? And I felt like I couldn't tell anyone what kind of surgery I was getting.
Which, by the way, the vestibulectomy, although it was like, you know, an outpatient sort of minor surgical procedure, the healing of it is really extensive for patients. It's not something that you can say, oh, I'll just have a vestibulectomy tomorrow. But you have to plan for like 6 weeks of like, you know, sedentary lifestyle and all this stuff because this is a dependent area. You're sitting on it all the time. And
Yeah. When you do the surgery, you're not allowed to sit on a chair. You're not allowed to put any, because that would put pressure. You have to be like flat on your back. You can't separate your legs at all for the 6 weeks. So you're just constantly like having muscle spasms there. You know, you can't shower for the first week. You're only using a sitz bath to like pat dry. It's an intense surgery. It's not just a quick, easy in and out type thing.
Top of that, and then your muscles get super hypertonic afterwards because you've been in pain for 6 weeks. And then you have to go into physical therapy.
Yes. So we immediately jumped into physical therapy and dilators after that. And that was a whole other thing. I was like, why is no one talking about this part of it either? I felt like until I actually met Nancy, I did not know another person with even like any of these disorders and specifically like vaginismus. I was thinking, oh, this is this crazy thing that happened to me. And I was like, well, I'm going to write about it because this deserves to be, you know, told out loud. Because I wrote a blog post after the surgery and I got a lot of feedback from people saying, oh, actually, I know someone with this, or actually, do I have this? Is this something? And so I was like, oh, this is something. This needs to be a story we tell. Right. And that's where it kind of got started. I went to UCLA and it got started there as a script. I started there.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. How old were you when you had your surgery?
I was, oh God, it was 2016. So I want to say I was 22 years old.
8 years of
it. It was like right after, in real life, I had it after college. And in the story, we have her have it at 26 after she's kind of been in LA and trying to get her dream job and everything. So we changed it, you know, to fit the format of 90 minutes. So it would make more sense, but same thing.
Awesome. Oh, wonderful. So how did you and Nancy meet then?
So
we actually met because Bonnie works with one of my best friends that I've known since kindergarten. And they work together at this post house called Light Iron, who has also been super helpful to us through this whole process. And Bonnie told Megan about the script that she was writing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Megan said, wow, my friend Nancy has a broken vagina as well. You guys should talk. And I was going to school at USC at the time for filmmaking, and I directed a feature film before that, and I was looking to direct another one, and it just kind of all worked out super well because I read Bonnie's script, and in the first scene, it's about this like 12-year-old girl who can't put a tampon in, and I was like, oh, that was me. I know exactly how I can direct this because that is my experience. And I also like felt this, I don't know, I wanted to keep it safe. Like I was like, oh my goodness, like I've been here. I know what this experience is like. I want to like nurture this scene and like show how it really is. Like I felt very protective of it. I was like, we've gone through this together, Bonnie. We were together, even though we didn't know it.
Oh my
gosh. And we brought it to life.
Bonnie.
Same it's middle school bathroom.
Telling us about your journey with vaginismus. I did my first two episodes, with patients who had vaginismus and myself talking about my vaginismus journey. Can you tell us, so yours was, your broken vagina was less vaginismus, or was there a mounting factor? Not just. Sometimes you can have primary vaginismus, and sometimes it can be secondary to like a vestibular problem.
Just a primary vaginismus. I could never put a tampon in. That was never something that I could do. And I just thought that I was doing it wrong, or maybe I was just like scared of them in general. Yeah. The reason I was scared was because I was feeling pain. Or like you would try to get it in there.
Hit a wall.
Yes. The hitting the wall is exactly what it was feeling like. And I remember like maybe I would get it in like a little bit, and then you do the classic vaginismus waddle with the tampon in because it's just you can't get it in there all the way. And I'm like, it hurts. And people are like, well, it shouldn't hurt if it's in there, right? I'm like, well, it does. I'm not just a baby. And then I became sexually active. And I was like, am I just dumb? Do I just not know where the hole is? Or like, what's going on here? Because again, you're hitting that wall.
Yeah.
And nothing can go in there at all.
That's what patients, they're like, am I something wrong with me? Because like 15-year-olds are doing this. And I'm like,
I kept thinking like it is designed to have things go inside. Like it should work, right? Like it should be easier than this. And then I thought like, oh, maybe it's just not easy. Maybe people say that it's easy, but it's not. Like maybe it's just this little secret and everyone feels this way. And then I went on to realize that is not the case. And I had a much smoother experience than Bonnie in that way, is that I was able to go to a doctor in Los Angeles that immediately, I didn't even say the words vaginismus, but I was going to my first gynecologist, and it was my first like exam, and I was like 26, I think, something like that, because I was really nervous to ever go because I was like, it's gonna hurt.
Vaginismus and vestibulodynia patients tend to avoid Yeah. Like, even though they know, like, you know that we should be going, but in our head, we think, no. And then it just, like, years build up.
Yes. Yeah. So I went later on, and then I said, like, I'm really nervous because, like, I feel a lot of pain with penetration. And they were like, is it just during sex or is it during other times? Like, is it during, like, masturbation or, like, is it during, like, and I was like, I can't put a tampon in. And they're like, oh, you can't put a tampon in. It sounds like you might have vaginismus.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, what? And then they, like, did an exam and they saw how I was doing with everything. And then they were like, you should get some dilators. And actually, funny enough.
Did they teach you how to use the dilators? Because that's
They did. Yes.
Oh, they had a good one there.
They were really wonderful. And it was very LA, so it was very woo-woo. So I was like, I'm having pain. And they're like, well, one, just tell us to stop. And if you don't feel comfortable telling a doctor to stop, we can choose whatever word you want. And you could just say it and we'll stop. And I was like, okay.
Trauma-informed.
Right? Yeah. And then they were like, here's some lavender spray. Look at the circle and breathe. And I was like, honestly, I'll take all of it. Thank you.
Please. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Wow, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, I think that's the issue is finding the right medical system, healthcare provider, whoever you want to call it. Yeah. Did you end up doing physical therapy too?
I did a little bit. I did a little bit of dilator therapy, but as you know, it's hard to do. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And so I think with grad school and everything, it just kind of went on the back burner for a little bit, but definitely I have a set. I've done some of it, but it's
because it recurs sometimes. Your body just has muscle memory and it just contributes.
I was gonna say I still am in physical therapy on and off too, and still have my dilator set from 2016 because life gets hard and it's really hard to keep up with.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have like busy life and you get anxious about things and you start clenching and then there goes your pelvis. Nancy, would you mind me asking, did you grow up in any kind of religious background?
I did. I grew up Catholic.
Yes. Okay. So we see it in primary vaginismus a lot in religiously brought up individuals. And there's a degree of religiosity is sometimes correlated with sexual pain. And although I don't know the statistic for Catholic women, I know Muslim women, because I treat all the religions that, you know, they all come in. We always, you know, okay, sex shaming was a big part of this. And, you know, I wasn't supposed to have anything in my vagina. So like now I'm supposed to, and I can't kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, at least the studies that we've done, like, you know, in terms of like the Muslim population, like 40% of them have sexual pain in their life.
Oh my God.
You know, so it's really staggering. I'm sure it's similar in other religious categories too, because there's so much sex shaming involved in.
Yeah, and, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's scary. Like, we're told if we do this, we could go to hell. And like, we're supposed to just be fine.
Eternal damnation.
that's scary, guys.
The stake cannot be higher.
The stakes cannot be higher.
All is in jeopardy.
Yes. Yeah. No wonder we're clenching.
Yeah. Anybody would. Well, I mean, thanks for sharing your stories. Let's talk about the movie now, the feature film. You know, how long did it take? What was the process? Like, you know, what's it about? I wonder if we can get an audio clip. We can put an audio clip in, maybe, of your clip.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we have a trailer we can send you, or we can also just send you a clip from the movie. Like,
Absolutely. And I think we do have
it on. I have some of my podcasts on YouTube, so then she can incorporate the actual scene or the audio.
Great. Awesome. Amazing. Okay, that's cool. Great.
All right.
Metro Gynecology, how can I help you?
Hi, I'd like to make an appointment.
So it's kind of like a knife digging in kind of pain. It's only down there. Next Monday at 3 p.m. Works great. I'll take it. Thank you so much. My new dog sat on a cheese grater.
Didn't know you had a dog.
Yeah. Poor thing. Happens more than you think. Everything hurts. Tampons, tight pants, riding a bike, sex.
Your lady parts.
So it seems that Paige's symptoms are the result of vulvodynia, specifically vulvar vestibulitis syndrome.
Ooh,
So I'm going to have surgery on my vagina, and then I can just go back to my life?
They're not gonna hold this job for me for a year while I'm getting my vagina in working condition.
You should be grateful that you have a place to come home to.
I'm gonna figure out how we're gonna pay for all this.
This is your daughter's vagina we're talking about. Money is secondary.
I'll come right back.
Again, my vagina, not a family affair. I'm writing up a blog post.
Are you gonna post it?
It's like really personal. I mean, no one's gonna read it anyways.
Paige, do you have a moment to chat?
Honey, you do whatever you are comfortable with. I am positive that people would benefit from your story.
I used to ask myself, what's wrong with me? Why aren't I normal? My vagina's gonna be just fine. Oh, no. I got a fucked up nerve ending.
Oh,
you called me crazy. So I think I'm gonna have another.
Not it.
Have you tried yoga?
I can always do more.
Okay, yeah, so tell us how you know, so you had written about it already, and how did this whole process evolve, and how long did it take, and what's the story?
So I got the surgery in 2016, and then I started writing it in 2017. I moved out to LA. I was sleeping on an air mattress, bought a one-way ticket with no job and no place to live, and made awesome decisions for my life. Yeah, I made great decisions.
I used to live in LA, so I met all the patients that you at USC. This is what.
Thanks. I'm sorry, I'm like UCLA.
No, fight on.
I know, it's fine. But I ended up taking night classes at UCLA, working in post, and I really started like honing in on the story because I saw how impactful it was. There was even someone in my writing group that I was paired with at UCLA who had very similar issues. And we started talking about it. And she's like, wow, I had no idea like anyone else had this. And, you know, it was really a cool experience. And so I'd say around the pandemic was more when I had a lot more time because I was beautifully furloughed and, you know, moved back in with my parents again and was bartending. It actually was like the perfect storm for me to be like in my childhood bedroom again, being like, okay, guess what? Let's relive this again and kind of rework the script. And when I met, I started to, you know, be like, I'm going to go self-produce this because it's really hard to find someone to give you money to say, hey, we believe in vulvovaginal and pelvic pain stories and we want to tell this. So it was a hard sell.
Collecting, actually, as a side note, if you're collecting still for production purposes, I don't know that we can maybe put a link in our bio or the show notes.
Okay. Definitely for festival submissions. We need that.
And marketing. Yeah. We would love to.
Yeah.
So basically, I took my entire life savings and then we did some rounds of Indiegogo and crowdfunding, and we had some support from some sponsors like Intimate Rose, who donated to us. And then I got introduced to Nancy, and then we found Ola, who was our DP, who was a client actually at Light Iron, where me and Megan were. And it kind of just started to all come together.
Yeah.
And then we were on set. I'll let Nancy take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, we took the crazy leap. And like Bonnie said, it's so hard to get funding when you're a small indie feature talking about vaginas. But especially, I mean, I just saw like something from Hello Sunshine recently that was saying that it's very, very hard for women to especially get funding. I'm sure it's like that in every aspect of the world, but it's like that in the film industry.
Yeah.
And women receive like 63% less distribution than like films directed by men and stuff. So there was a lot up against us. And so I remember Bonnie said, like, should we do this now? Should we wait? And Bonnie and I were both kind of like, no, we're not going to wait. We're just going to do it. Like, when you are women in film, you cannot wait for permission. You just have to do it. And so we did. And it was crazy, but we did it. And we filmed for about a month. And again, we were a super low budget production. It felt kind of like summer camp. Our main actress, Valentina Tomorrow, is incredible. And she talks about how it was amazing to be on a set with pretty much all women. Like, women were most of the department heads on our set. And she said that everything ran very smoothly and it was very communicative and we all listened to each other. And then we were singing to the Jonas Brothers in between things. Bonnie cut my bangs one night before set. And I mean, it truly was that summer camp vibe because we were all like living in the same Airbnb that we were filming in. So yeah. When Valentina, who plays Paige, goes back to her childhood bedroom and she has to, you know, find what she lost in herself in her youth and rebuild herself while healing from her vulvar surgery, Valentina was literally staying in that childhood bedroom and sleeping there. So she was kind of eating, sleeping, and breathing the movie. And it
it truly was.
And it was just like such a wonderful time. Like, I think that when you have constraints, which for us mostly was money, those were our constraints, I think that it causes you to be more creative. Right. And I think that we did that in such a wonderful way. I think that it brought us closer together because we literally had to be close quarters. Created this camaraderie that was just amplified because of the situation that we were in. And one creative thing that we had to do was creative problem solving. So for instance, a couple of our doctor scenes takes place in a BDSM dungeon in LA called Threshold. I called over there and I was like, do you guys have a med play room? we thought of creative ways to get the story told, and it was just a blast. I mean, our DP, Olo Olabi, is just incredible, and it was so important.
Tell us what a DP is, just in case
Yes, of course. She was our camera operator, and she came up with like the visual storytelling of the movie. So Ola and I sat down.
She stands for like
director of photography.
Director of photography.
Yes. So Ola and I would sit down and talk about like one of the things that was important to us was that whenever, because we have some like intimate scenes in the movie, like showing like masturbation or couple sexual encounters.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make sure that in any of those moments, Paige was as clothed as possible.
Sure.
Like, we wanted to show the least skin as possible while also being real. Yeah. And then when we were seeing medical moments or moments of healing, that's when we showed like the nudity and the vulnerability. So I think that's Valentina, funny. Like when, you know, there are sex scenes, we see Paige and we just see like up here for her, but we're not scared of nudity at all. It's just, you know, we wanted to kind of flip the male gaze in its
I
way. So
yeah.
You only see like,
that's great.
You only see like a full nude shot when her mom is like washing her during surgery. So I just wanted to kind of flip it on its head.
Perfect. I love it.
And another really cool thing, Nancy could talk about this too. We had an intimacy coordinator, Allison Bibcloth, who is incredible. And it was my first time, Nancy's first time working with an intimacy coordinator. It just made the whole place feel safe. It's comfortable. Like, because a lot of times people hear sex scenes, masturbation scenes, and stuff like that. And I think it was really important for our story to have an intimacy coordinator like on set for those days.
That's beautiful.
It's really absolutely
beautiful. That's awesome. So take us through like the actual story. So it's your story, Bonnie, right? So is it basically what you figured out? And I know I saw the trailer with one doctor scene. Are there multiple doctor scenes or?
So there's multiple doctor scenes.
The full gaslighting.
There's some gaslighting for sure. We see a lot of we're in stirrups, we're in exam table rooms, we are in, you know, just a doctor's office talking at one point. But the story really centers around our main character, Paige, who has just got this really cool opportunity, like a dream job in LA. And she's dealing with all this pain, of course, and she gets her dream job, but she has to turn it down, move back home with her parents, get a vulvar vestibulectomy, kind of take this year off of her life to then do the recovery and the PT and the dilators.
Right.
Throughout the process, even though it's about her getting, you know, her vestibulectomy, it's also about her finding agency over her own body, gaining confidence, you know, in her own writing and her own story and, you know, connecting with other, you know, people about vaginas and vulvas and all these fun issues. And it's a comedy, but it's also a family affair. Her parents are, we kind of flipped the script on that too. I think a lot of people expected the parents to be these parents that are like, we don't want to talk about it. It's shameful. Yeah. And instead they're overbearing.
We have to fix your vagina.
Exactly. Yeah.
Overbearing Jewish parents to the extreme. Yeah. And very much like my parents are. Tell them I said that.
Like your mom is not listening to every podcast you're on, Bonnie. I know.
She has no idea.
You needed that for your whole process.
Yeah, it was so important. And I think it was really important to kind of show, like, yes, this mother figure, but also a father figure who is not sexualizing this at all and is coming from a perspective of my daughter's in pain. I want to fix that pain and I'm there for her. And having male figures that could act that way is also really important and cool to the story. But yeah, that's what it mainly follows that year at home.
I was going to say, I think that something really beautiful about our story too is that we go into that when you care about yourself enough and take the time to heal your body and to rest, it means that you will then take the time to heal your soul and become a better person. Mm-hmm. And that's what she does.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because, you know, we're all on the go all the time and we don't take care of ourselves. And and I think this is the issue with some of my patients too, is like, unless you're like forced, I mean, I have like 3 or 4 patients now who are waiting to get their vestibulectomies because they don't have the time to do it right.
Yeah.
So it's like on pause because I'm a grad student, on pause because I'm finishing X, Y, or Z, you know? So,
It was a big, and like to Nancy's point about that, what we always said too is even if you're not getting a vestibulectomy or you don't have vaginismus or vulvodynia or any of these, there's something in the story you can relate to. Maybe you've had to move back home with your parents, you've had to take a step back in your career, you've had a medical procedure that puts you out, you took time to rest and found yourself. And
you're suffering from menopause. You can't work at work like you should be able to, like any woman, you know?
So much.
But I love that male advocacy piece because I feel like, and just like the family advocacy, like I always like, even when I do talks on menopause or whatever, I mean, you might not be that person going through this, but you might have a mom or a sister or a friend or a coworker or somebody. And if you're that one person that actually A, listens to that patient and B, actually can like actually support their advocacy, you make a world of difference in someone's life. And, you know, and that translates into making a difference in other people's lives because the advocacy builds on itself, right? So
we actually had someone come up to us at one of the festivals, the last festival that we were at, and said, I'm a dad, and I'm so glad that I watched this because when my daughter grows up, if something happens, I know what to do. Like if this happens, I know like how I need to handle it, and I'm not going to be freaked out by it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just learning... one of the biggest problems, I talk about medical gaslighting a lot, but the truth of the matter is, you know, there's a system problem, right? That we have a system problem. The system problem is nobody really focuses on women's health. Nobody teaches residents or medical students. And this is where I like really push the envelope on how to deal with these patients. So what happens? Like, I don't know, just have a glass of wine. I don't know. Maybe you'll feel better. You know, like they don't know what they don't know. And so sometimes, you know, people's egos might get in the way or whatever, but the reality is our system is just totally broken and the access to getting this care is so remarkably difficult that I love that you are able to really, you know, even help someone figure out how to make a journey for themselves, right? Like how to actually navigate that system.
Yeah. I remember in 2015, after I'd found Dr. Andrew Goldstein in New York, I was interning here before my senior year. And then my appointments, because I was going to college at University of Alabama. So just to get to an appointment in New York, I would need to drive 3 hours to Atlanta. I'd park my car, take the MARTA to Atlanta Airport, take the fly from Atlanta to LaGuardia. And then it was like bad LaGuardia at that time. So then it was like 2 buses and a train, go see the doctor, get on a bus to Philly. My parents would pick me up and then I'd sleep over. And the next day they'd drive me back and I'd do the whole thing in reverse and then go back to class. Nothing was happening, you know, and we're just discussing, you know, should we get the surgery? Should we try this? So the access to care, unless, you know, is horrible, then, you know, it's not covered by insurance. So there's a lot of affordability, accessibility, economic problems. And I'm really lucky and privileged that I had the means to go see Dr. Andrew Goldstein and supportive parents. And I know not everybody gets that. It's like, I'm very privileged and I even had a hard time accessing proper care.
Right. And to speak to that as well, like even trying to find the, like I was taught, because I'm on the board of directors at the International Society for the Women's Study of Women's Sexual Health, ISHWISH. And I'm actually part of the scientific committee this year for our big annual conference. And I wanted to see, like, maybe we can even get you guys to come there and show a snippet, or maybe we could have a movie night or something. It's like a Ford.
We'd love that.
All providers from around the world. Is it going to be an international conference, actually? Because there's going to be doctors from and clinicians from all over the world. And we just convene every year to learn the latest research on sex and female sexual stuff. And so I'll talk to my team about it, because maybe it'd be really cool to do like a screening there or like a movie night.
It would be really cool.
That would be so fun.
Yeah. And so, and these are all clinicians and, you know, psychologists, sex therapists, pelvic floor therapists, doctors, PAs, nurses, and they're all here to learn and really evolve their sexual medicine practices. So I will speak to them about that, because
that would be so cool.
Yeah, awesome. Really, but cool. Isn't it? Keep you guys posted. But that is the organization. Like, if someone's trying to figure out who to find in their arena to help their, I hate to say it, broken vagina, but. We always, all of us that have had broken vaginas, that's how we refer
to it. We're allowed to say it. It's our thing.
Yeah.
But you better not tell me.
Exactly. You don't say it, but I can say it.
And your doctor should say, you don't have a broken vagina, dear.
So. Yet. No, but we can say it as a fun little thing.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, just going to that www.isswsh.org, that's where we could find, you know, someone that can help, even if they don't do the procedure, because not a lot of people are trained in vestibulectomies and how to do a full vesicular versus like just a bottom part of the vestibule. You have to actually remove the whole part. You know, those nuances are important too, to get pain removed. But, well, what do you guys have? Like, what's your big, like, if you had one statement to make to people about the movie or about your journeys, about how to help yourself, like, what would you tell our listeners right now?
I would say that our movie.
First of all, go see the movie if it's coming out in the future. If it's coming out at one of your film festivals, and I'm going to keep posting about it, and you guys can follow you guys on your socials as well.
I was going to say our Instagram is ladyparts_film, and we have a link in bio with like everything there. And whenever we are in a festival, it will be, trust me, we will make it known on the Instagram feed. So please follow us and keep updated.
I would say I would tell people, don't be scared by the vagina aspect or the medical aspect of our film. It's a heartwarming comedy about how family comes together, even when you don't want them to, but you need them to.
Yeah. As we say, a vagina is a family affair.
From there, life starts there, right? So.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think my biggest advice is, if there isn't a seat at the table, then bring a folding chair and put your own chair there. You know, whether that relates to this story, Lady Parts, you know, where she kind of has to advocate for herself, or me and Nancy's journeys where we've had to advocate for ourselves, or us female filmmakers had to advocate for ourselves. And, you know, the story doesn't get made because we waited around for it to happen. It gets made because we felt really passionate about it. And we were saying, you know what? It's going to happen. I don't care anymore. We're doing it. And you can totally do that.
You can totally do that. Yeah. That's awesome. I love that you guys did this. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to talk to Ishwish about it. That would be amazing. That'd be really cool.
That would be very cool.
And then, you know, and I think actually just for people to understand, like even students to understand, even like residents, like when you gaslight someone like this, it has a profound effect on patients, you know, like, I feel like, you know, this is something that we could even like think about distributing for educational purposes to people at some point, but, you know, or at least they should come watch it, like push them to like, you know, make it part of their curriculum or something.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure.
teach over at Northwestern, so I'll make sure that
really cool.
my students and residents you know think about coming to this.
Yeah,
but yeah. Oh, and you know, there's a whole forum on female sexual medicine now that was designed by medical students, and they're really pushing the narrative to try to learn more about female sexual medicine. So
that's great.
Like maybe I'll connect you guys to make sure we can get some students to understand, you know, what's happening to patients and like, yeah, this is funny. There's euphemisms, whatever, but like, you know, this should be something that they take for serious, you know?
That's true. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Anyway, I appreciate you guys being here. You know, I love this story. I love that you guys are doing this. I love that you took the bull by the horn and decided to do it yourself. That's what we have to do sometimes. Like I say, I'm here to educate so people can learn how to advocate for themselves. And that's my motto here with my podcast. So thank you, everyone, for joining Dino Girl Presents Sex, Drugs, and Hormones. I'm going to put a lot in the show notes so that you guys have nowhere to find Bonnie and Nancy, nowhere to get to see Lady Parts if it comes to a city near you. Or hopefully, maybe it gets picked up by Netflix and then you can just at some point, you know, so we can see. But yeah, I appreciate you guys telling your story. I appreciate you bringing this story, you know, to film. And I hope that it has a lot of success for you guys and your efforts and for patients out there that are suffering.
Well, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If you have a second, please subscribe to this podcast. I'd love for you to be a follower and learn as much as you can about the things that we're going to talk about with all the people on our journey. Please review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. These reviews really help. Review us, comment, tell me what else you want to hear to get more information. My practice website is www.cgcchicago.com. My website for Gyno Girl is www.gynogirltv.com. My Instagram is Gyno Girl, so please follow me for some good content. Additionally, I have a YouTube channel, Gyno Girl TV, where I love to talk about all these things on YouTube. And please subscribe to my newsletter, Gyno Girl News, which will be available on my website. I will see you next time.